Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM, 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Well, we're going to listen to our last segment that we're airing from Scott Schaefer Duffy. I could air a whole bunch more, but I just don't have all the space that was needed. He was just wonderful. As I said, this was actually an interview I did on scene. It was at the Catholic Worker House in Worcester, Massachusetts. But if you want to hear more from Scott Schaefer Duffy, check out his website, nothingisimpossiblebook.com. That's nothingisimpossiblebook.com, where you can find his book, Nothing is Impossible. We hear a lot of his stories here. And also some of the mysteries he's written, which are called Catholic Worker Mysteries. And he's going to tell us all a lot more about his work, his philosophy, his theology, and that comes from the Catholic Worker and how we live that every day. I should mention the first part of this interview is very graphic because he talks about his time in war zones. So be aware of that, and listener discretion is advised. Be aware of that. In the meantime, let us switch over to this interview with Scott Schaefer Duffy. Remember, nothingisimpossiblebook.com. To learn more about Scott Schaefer Duffy. More than the past, this is now 7 days of listening to Scott Schaefer Duffy. So let's switch over to our interview now, done on location in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Do you know the story of Maximilian Kolbe?
Oh, very much so.
With Nagasaki?
Yes. And
fascinating.
And George Zabelka, too. George Zabelka was the chaplain for the bomb crew on Tinian.
Really?
He Catholic chaplain. Very, very hardcore macho priest. Mm-hmm. Military chaplain. And he went to Hiroshima after it happened.
Oh, wow.
And he was shaken up. And he came back and he met Martin Luther King. He ended up working with him in civil rights and eventually became a hardcore pacifist.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
We met him. He was a good friend, but he was really, that whole generation. We met a lot of the people from that generation.
Wow.
Howard Zinn was in the military.
Really?
You know, Phil Berrigan was a bomber.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Phil Berrigan, the great pacifist, was a bomber in the military. And a great friend of ours, drawing a blank down on his name, but anyway, this friend of ours that had done civil disobedience with us, we were in court, and the prosecutor asked him on cross-examination, when did you decide you're a pacifist? How long have you been a pacifist? And he said, I was deployed in the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I saw my first dead German. I went over, and he said he had a belt buckle, good mittens, God with us. And he pulled out his wallet and saw a picture of his kids. And he says, this guy's just a dumb schmuck just like me.
Yeah.
And he said, I knew I was a pacifist then. He said, I just didn't have the guts to live it out for 20 years.
Wow.
And, so I've had a lot of good experience with vets. I travel with vets in war zones. I've been shot at. I've been minefields. I certainly have lots of appreciation. I have more in common with combat veterans than armchair pacifists. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Because I know that what they, have risked and what it's like in a real war zone. I learned.
Fortunately, I've never had that experience.
Oh, I learned in Bosnia, snipers. I thought snipers were like Saving Private Ryan. Up in the bell tower, you see the reflection of their scope.
Yeah.
A sniper with a modern rifle can be 3/4 of a mile
sure,
away.
Sure, that's right.
And in Bosnia, anywhere you can see the horizon, they can see you.
Oh, wow.
When we rented vehicles for our peace missions, we had to have 3 drivers because a sniper targets the driver. And when they kill the driver, if the vehicle's disabled, they'll shoot everyone. So the second driver has to jump into the seat and drive. And the third driver, because it's likely they'll shoot the second one too.
Oh, wow.
But we had to, I had to learn about the, and I learned that, hollow point bullets, everybody uses them.
Really?
And you see bullet hole this side and one side, other side.
Sure.
Like a grapefruit gun.
Yeah.
A wound in the arm, you'll die.
Yeah.
You'll bleed to death, because of these weapons. But I learned a lot of different things in war zones, and I learned a lot in jail. And I used to be able to say I never met anybody in jail I wouldn't take home until I met this one guy oh, what a jerk. And I said, really? You've ruined my thing. Wow. When I was in jail in Georgia for the School of the Americas, I had a long sentence there. And when I was in jail, I realized my letters to my children would be really boring. Because what's happening? We played cards today. You know, jail's kind of boring. So I wrote them a book. And every day I do a chapter. And it was set in the Middle Ages. All of them were characters. There were knights. Crusades were involved. It was called The Treasure of the Lord, The Mystery of the Treasure of the Lord. And every day would end with every chapter would end with a cliffhanger. And I would mail it out. And another guy waiting on death row sentence for murder read it one day, and he says, this has to be reviewed. Each day he would clear the tier. He says, all right, read the chapter. I'd read it aloud, and the other prisoners would say things. You've got a misplaced modifier.
Really?
That's an anachronism. You know, they would help me rewrite it.
Oh, wow, that's hysterical.
You know, and when I got out of jail, the guy, I'd finished it. The kids had bound it, and, you know, and so much fun. And Martin Sheen heard about that jail sentence, and he said, my sister's a travel agent, and he gave us free tickets to Ireland, and we went on a month trip to Ireland.
Oh, wow.
We ended up speaking at two Catholic worker houses while we were there, so the piece work followed us a little bit, but we took our kids to Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Which was great, you know.
Oh, that's fascinating. Oh, my God.
We brought them to India, too, for 6 weeks at one point.
Oh, wow.
So they got to see a little bit of
How old are your kids now?
Oh, now it's going to be math. 38. All the way down to 29.
Wow.
They're 3 years apart. My grandmother said, have them 3 years apart. You don't want two nursing. You want two in diapers.
Oh, okay.
So we had them all 3 years apart.
3 years apart.
And they're all doing really interesting, good things. And, you know, one of them said to me, what would you say if I wanted to live in somewhere else? And I said, listen, you're your own people. I support your conscience. You want to live anywhere in the world, you can. He said, that's great. I said, just make sure you come home every Friday for family night, for dinner. Three of them actually live in Worcester. One's in
Isn't
Providence.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have a great relationship. Yeah. We have six grandchildren now. And,
that's wonderful.
And the Catholic worker was very helpful as a parent. They're all very self-confident. They're comfortable with different races. The kids know people.
Sure.
They're very, very self-confident people, and they're creative. We had, you know, so there was a lot.
You've had, and a lot of this has to do with that whole Catholic worker spirit.
Oh yeah, that it's wide open. That, you know, it's and my first book is called Nothing Is Impossible.
Is it available?
It is. I'll give you a copy if you want.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the stories I've told you are in this book and more. But the thing about it is, it's just, you know, it says, you know, with God, all things are possible. And it's just true. It's just true. And I tell people, I said, you know, this Bible. I said, it's true. And, you know, and in our newsletter and everything, we've met so many different people. You know, we've gone on demonstrations about the border migrants into Mexico. It's like my wife's interviewed people on death row. She's written articles for NCR about place called Cancer Alley, where there's all kinds of petroleum places in Louisiana. She's gone down there. She went to Rwanda, investigated the murder of several nuns in Rwanda and Burundi. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like between international trips, which we mostly take separately, and being in jail, I think we've been separated for a year of our marriage, but that was probably a relief for her. Gives her a little bit of a break.
So, in all of this is divine providence.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very much so.
Wow.
Very much so. And and increasingly, I used to believe when I first went to the Catholic worker was about sheltering the homeless, doing peace work.
Living the corporal and spiritual
Yeah,
works
doing the... Now I think those are the outward signs. The Catholic worker is about testifying, a witness is not somebody who points to the truth.
Mm.
The Catholic worker is about pointing to the truth of God.
Wow.
The Catholic worker is not about, you know, in a lot of ways, people that work with the homeless or people who work for peace and justice, they want so much to help people that they succumb to pragmatism. And when it doesn't work, they get burned out.
Oh, okay.
When it fails.
Yeah.
You work to stop war in Nicaragua, and then there's another war. Damn it.
Right. Yeah.
And they, you know, but the Catholic worker, they do this, and they let go of it. It's they plant seeds, and they let go of it. They believe the victory was on Golgotha. And the promise that every tear will be wiped away is in God's time and hands.
Wow.
And we do not have to stress. Some of what we plant will blossom. Some will blossom in another time, in another day, out of our vision. But we don't have to worry about it.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there's another war, and we keep the calm. And now we have to do this. And now we have to do that. And it's just, what you just say to God, well, what do you want us to do today?
Oh, isn't that something?
And just do it. And you don't stress about it.
Wow.
You know, you want people's lives to get better. And some people have. One guy that stayed with us 6 times, drunk each time, broke windows, very tough. Called himself, you call ourselves effing Christians, very, very tough guy. He hasn't had a drink in 10 years. He donates to the house. You just don't know.
We hope you've enjoyed our visit with Scott Schaefer Duffy from the Catholic Workhouse in Worcester, Massachusetts. Tomorrow, we listen to Father Adrian Ozandana. If you would like to support our program, please consider a donation to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. There are several ways to consider this. One is to purchase any of our merchandise, which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. There are coffee mugs there. There's also my latest book, Encounter Christ in Your Humanity, all of which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also donate to the show directly through either the Donate tab, also at CatholicAudioMedia.com, or by sending a donation to the U.S. Postal Service with your questions and comments at 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. That's St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. Finally, the best way you can support our parish is to attend Mass on Sundays at 10 o'clock and be a part of our parish. We thank you for any support you would like to give to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, the sponsoring parish for this media outreach to Catholics and other Christians in the WROL, WEZE, and podcast listening audience. In Cristo vivimos.